time it seems like. I was gone last week. I was gone this morning. I was preaching this morning at another church, and the Lord just blessed us there and here tonight. And would you stand with me tonight, and would you just pray for me tonight? I guess a lot of recourse coming back off of this microphone here. But would you pray for me tonight that God would just touch me and God would just bless tonight? Father, tonight we come here before your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, tonight I ask, Lord, that you may anoint our ears to hear and God, our hearts to receive thy precious word. Father, will you anoint thy servant tonight, Lord? And oh, God, would you just give me the words to say? And God, as we leave this place here tonight, that we can say, Lord, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank you for all that's going to be done in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, it's so good to see you. I text Brother Allen today and I said, Brother Allen, ain't it about time you get back up here? Yeah. You know, sometimes I miss the old guy, amen. And so, but I sure do love the pastor and thank him for the opportunity to be able to minister tonight and have the trust and the confidence that he has to allow me to be able to preach his word tonight. If you got your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, and verse number 8. And I want to preach on the thought tonight, what is the devil up to now? Amen? What is the devil up to now? Well, I guess somebody can say, well, he's up to no good. That's about truth, amen? But here we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible said, be sober, but be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom that he may devour. Back years ago, and I guess what we call eternal yonders, their ages, before this world ever begun, we find in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, that we find that God lived in heaven with all of his angels around him. And we find there that one of the angels, one of the highest above them all, had rebelled against God, and his name was Lucifer there. And him and a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven there. And he, the devil, has never gotten over losing his place, his downfall in heaven. So now he has a purpose in life. And that purpose that he has, my friend, is to deceive the people as to who that he is. My friend, may I say to you tonight that Satan is real. I don't give him no glory, but I want you to understand that he is real tonight. A lot of times we think about the cartoon that where he's pictured with a red suit, a forked tongue, a forked tail, and a pitchfork in his hand. No, my friend, the Bible said that that he comes in all different forms and all different ways in our life there. And he comes for a purpose. And that purpose is to deceive people as to who he is. I'm so, as the pastor said the other day, I was very upset about the hearing the broadcast of the news I read where in Greensboro they was going to try to start that Satan club in elementary schools. And I thought, man, have we lost our minds? Have we gotten to the place in our life that we've forgotten that who that Satan is and what his devices are in this world and what he's trying to do, his tricks, his devices that he uses against us? Because it is not against you and I, but it's against God. Because you love God, he don't like you. The battle's between him and God, but because it's you and I that love the Lord. And so he tries to deceive us to ask to who that he is. He's not somebody that cares about you. He doesn't love you. He loves to take and make attractions before our eyes, just like he did with Abraham and Lot there. And Lot turned there as Abraham gave him an opportunity to make the first choice. And Lot looked over there towards Solomon, and the ground was green, the pastures were great, and it was well watered. And he chose that and offered, but yet he did not see the destruction on the other side. That part, my friend, is what Satan's up to today. He wants to show us a great picture, but never show to you what's on the other side. I always say that he always likes to put you in a tree and then cuts the limb down off of you, man. He likes to get you in trouble and walk off and leave you. How many times has he done that to you before? Amen. He's done that a lot of times to me. Get me in trouble and then leaves me there to get out on my own. So Satan's real. And Satan makes sin to look attractive. The Bible said that sin is a pleasure for a season. There in the Garden of Eden where with Adam and Eve there made the tree look good, but yet there she takes, Eve takes a part of the tree there, and there a curse comes into the world. So the devil is real, and he's up to no good. The greatest tool that Satan uses against you and I is discouragement. I've never in my life ever seen as many help study books that there is in a bookstore. How to get out of depression. How to quit worrying. How to quit being fearful. How to quit doing this. How to quit. And it's in a Christian bookstore. Friend, listen. We're better than that. Amen. It's just a trick of the devil trying to get God's people discouraged, to get to the place that where we no longer have a testimony, nor do we have the joy in our hearts, in our lives. Do you know the night that the devil can get you and I to lose our joy? When we can. That we don't have a testimony. We don't have a song of a praise in our hearts, in our lips, to be able to show to this world that he is, that God is greater than he that's within the world. He gets us to the place where we're so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, and messed up in this world. Christians now, and I'm not talking about the lost. We know they're messed up, tied up, and tangled up. But believers, my friend, we're greater than that. And we should know the devices that Satan brings against us. Even because you're saved, that don't mean that don't stop him from coming against you. Hello? Boy, before I got saved, he never came around. But the very moment I got saved, I tell you, he made his presence known. He let me know who he was. He accused me. He done this. He done that. He done everything. But when I was with him, he never said anything about me. Why? Because he didn't need to. He already got me. He can't take our souls, but he sure can make our life a miserable. Amen. And that's what he's up to tonight. He's up to deceive us. He's up to make sin look attractive. And he's here to hinder the work of God. But I got news for him, my friend. It's when we allow him to do the works. It's when we allow him to hinder in our mess. It's like when we allow him to get in our mess. It's when we allow him to do the things that he wants to do to us. But we have power to be able to defeat him tonight. Our churches, I preached this morning and I told the church, I said, you know what? I said, our churches are so dead. Sometimes I don't know if I'm coming into a mortuary or a cemetery sometimes. That's how our churches are dead now. We're dead and we're not. We ought to be alive, friend. We ought to be alive. We ought to be the most shouting people on the face of the earth. We ought to be a person, my friend, today, because we've been saved. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're on the way to heaven. We ought to be the most happiest person on the face of the earth. People today, they come and they get saved and We don't get excited about that anymore. Why? Has Satan stole your joy? Has he stole your excitement about the works of God? That, you know, it ought to be exciting. Oh, I remember when I got saved. Boy, they start playing that guitar, boy, and they sung my favorite song. I can't sing, so I ain't going to sing it. But it was an old song. It went like this. I'm so proud to be a Christian. Hallelujah. You know, that's it. And all these things. And boy, I tell you what, I got excited. The whole church got excited. But I don't see churches excited anymore over people getting saved. Why? Because Satan is having his way among God's people, and we should not allow him to have his way among us today. The world needs us, and we can't be useful to the world if we're tied up, bound up, wrapped up, miserable, defeated, foe. We ought to be more than that. More than that. You know, we're in the very last days. We're in that time that Jesus is about to come. We're in that time that we can see that all hell is broke loose on earth. We've had over 198 mass shootings here in America. And in the last 19 weeks of the first of this year, we've had more people die from drugs this year than there had been from last year. We've had more people come against us, Satan, like the Satan clubs, like everything else that's come against us. And we sit back and we're so quiet about it. My friend, it's time that God's people to stand up like a mighty army of God and begin to let this world know that God's not dead, we're not at his funeral, and he's alive. Amen? Amen. It's time that we begin to do that. Oh, I tell you, it just makes me upset. It gets under my skin because Satan is trying to get you and I to stumble. Hey, I may fall today, but I'm going to get right back up. Why? Because grace is greater than all of my sins. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep walking on for the glory of God. Why? Because I'm not going to allow the devil to take anything away from me. Because listen, I've tasted of the goodness of the Lord, and he's good. And I've tasted of the world, and it's sour. It's no good. And I got nothing in this world to go back to. That's where we ought to be. Man, that's when we ought to be so excited. I'm excited. I don't know about you. I get excited. I just get blown out of proportion. I'm sorry. Because I got something to shout about this morning. You know, I told you about my healing. I told you about when I got saved. I told you that I'm blessed from the tops of my head to the soles of my feet. Hey, guess what? It's all Jesus and nothing else. And the world needs to hear that. The world hears everything else in this world. They hear about evolution. Now they're talking about transition. They're talking about this and they're talking about that. And listen, but where is Jesus in the equation? He's the God that created all things. He's the God that created you and I from the dust of the earth. So why should we give loud the devil to take God's place in our lives? And we do. When we allow him to defeat us, to get us down, get us to worrying, get us depressed. Man, I've never in my life have seen as many Christian people depressed and worried about everything in this world. I remember when in 2002, was it K22, what they called that, K22? People hoarding toilet paper, people hoarding this and hoarding that and everything. And there was all Christians. Man, I'm not here to stay. I'm here to go. Amen? But that's this device that Satan does. And that's what he's up to. He's up to no good. He is here to ruin us, to defeat us, to knock us down, to make our testimony no good. How can you testify to somebody if you're all tied up and tangled up and messed up in all your problems? Amen? Listen, you can have problems. You can have difficulties in your life. You know that we all have, I have those too. But I don't allow my situation to determine my future. Hello? I don't allow my problems to defeat me to the point that I can't have a smile and I can't be able to show somebody the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and let them know that, hey, yes, my back's up against the wall. Yes, my friend, I got problems. Yes, I got this. But let me tell you, I got Jesus and He's more than all of my problems. He's more than my sickness. He's more than my pain. He's more than my finances. He's more than anything else in my life. That's what this world needs to hear. And we here tonight, and I love when Brother Chris said that the school's going to come over here and he's going to work the crowd. And you know that, man, that's great. You know, that just does something to my soul because, you know what? It's about us touching other people's lives. Reaching one another, one by one, with the love of God. That's what it's all about. Because I want you to know, most of them people, they already fell into the clutches of Satan. Families broken apart. Children going hungry. Here in this town, here, I see it all the time, my friend. I've been around it, my friend. Listen, I've worked the projects. I've worked the streets before. I've been in homes, the rich, the poor, the middle class. And I heard the cry. I see the pain that's upon their face, my friend. And all that they need is Jesus and get the devil out. It's what they need. And it's only Christ that can do that. I shared with, there's a young boy that works with me, and I won't tell his name, but he was a Jehovah's Witness. He said, I used to go to church. He's real long hair and got a beard down to here, and big on, which that don't matter. And he said, I used to wear a suit and tie and be clean cut and everything. Well, that don't mean anything. Hey, if I had some hair, I have it down here too. Amen. Well, I ain't got no hair. So next time y'all go to the barbershop and y'all got some light brown hair, save it for me, amen? We'll glue it in there. Matter of fact, I got to tell this one. When I was 30 years old, boy, I tell you, I got 30 years old and I got concerned, Brother Josh, about me being bald-headed. That bothered me. 30 years old. Getting thin on top of my little head. And I went down and I saw that little television show called Bosney. Riding down the road in red Cadillac. Hair breezing in the wind. Getting in the swimming pool and swimming. Throwing it back. Boy, God, I could throw sweat off my head. And I went and got me one of those things. I went to Greensboro and I said, I'd like to have me a little bit of hair on my head, sir. And so they put one in there. And I thought it was just going to be a rug. You know, it is a rug, but it's a glued-in rug. and they cut your hair all different kinds of ways. And, you know, I was worried about my hair. Thought it was going to look up my good-looking charm, you know. And so I got it. And, man, it looked good. Oh, I looked 20 years, didn't I, honey? Didn't I look good? Oh, sure, I look good. 20 years younger. That night, I got in the shower. Water don't hurt this thing because Bosney swims in the swimming pool with it. Got in that thing. And man, I got out of the shower. Looked up and that thing was flopped back. Penny had already gone to bed. And it got in the bed and I couldn't get it out. It was glued in. And so I got me a butcher knife. I went to my wife to the bed and I had the butcher knife in my hand. I said, hey. Hey, that butcher knife in my hand. And she thought I was going to kill her, I guess. I cut that thing out. I put it in a bag, took it back. Hair all messed up where they cut it to fit it in, you know. And the guy said, you must have sweat last night. I said, look, brother, you said I could swim in it. I can shampoo in it. I can drive a Cadillac and let it blow in the wind. I quit worrying. Man, I got beautiful skinhead. Amen. But you see, that's how Satan does. He makes us worry over nothing. And God's people's like that. People fear. Like Y2K when it was. Everybody was afraid. Afraid, oh Lord, Y2K, we ain't going to have it with no toilet paper. We ain't going to have anything. We're afraid just like it is now. We're afraid. But why be afraid? You know why we're like that? It's because we forgot who we are. We forgot that we're a child of God. We forgot that one day that we was lost and trespassing in our sin. And that one day when we come to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ made us sons and daughters of Him. And there is no more condemnation in us. And my friend, now we are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's who we are. And we forget about who we are. We forget about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our big brother. We forget. And we allow Satan to come in. Well, you know, it may not do that. How about if it don't happen that way? What, you know what? It doesn't matter how it happens. As long as I'm trusting in God, that's all that matters. So Satan is very busy. He's busy to deceive us as who he is. He's busy to make sin look attractive. He's busy to hinder us in our walk with God. And he's trying to destroy the power of the church of Jesus Christ. And I see that everywhere. Did you know today that there is, I think, 7 churches in the United States close its doors every Sunday? One day several years ago, it was back in the late 90s, I was with Dr. M.W. Chapman, who was the director of missions at the time, and I was in his office, and somebody called and said, Dr. Chapman, you got any churches open? And Dr. Chapman said, well, not yet, but Sunday's not got here yet. You know what that meant? Means that by Sunday, another pastor is going to quit and give up the pulpit and be a car salesman. Our church doors are closing left to right. Even in the Church of God, most churches in the Church of God only has about 50 members. In the Southern Baptist Church, most of their 47,000 plus churches are less than 75 people in the church. And most of the 47,700 and some plus churches, my friend, has not baptized nobody in the last 10 years. Now tell me that Satan's not on the ball. Tell me that Satan's not out doing what he does best. And tell me, my friend, it's time that we rise up beyond where we are today. A few in number on this corner in Thomasville, North Carolina. That we're going to make up our mind that we're not going to let the devil take place in this place or in this town. That we're going to rise up above that. And we're going to tell this world it's Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's what we're going to tell it is. Satan has tried to destroy the church and its power. And he's done a mighty fine job of it. Just this morning the church was telling me, and I was telling my sister there, and she said, I already heard about it. I said, wow, news tells us that. Then another church, 2 other churches are closing their doors to come to be a part of their church because they don't have enough people to make up their church to stay alive. Wow. What's happening, church? The devil is making everything look appealable
to the world, making everything to God's people, making them, the beach looks good, the mountains looks good, this looks good, that looks good. But God don't look too good. Friend, it's all about the Lord. Everything is about the Lord. Nothing else. And it just bothers me. It just tears me up to know that all that God has done for you and for I, to die upon the cross, to shed His blood, His life, to leave heaven, who the angels worship and adore, to leave it, to come here to die for you. What is man that God is mindful of man? Why does God love me so much? And yet we allow the devil just to do his thing in our lives. Heard some lady this morning say, I made up in my mind that I'm going to take back everything the devil's done to me. I'm going to take back my health. I'm going to take back my faith. I'm going to take back my community. I'm going to take back my church. I'm going to take back everything. And that ought to be our motto. I'm going to take back everything the devil has stole from me. I'm coming to get my stuff, devil. I'm going to come and get it because I'm tired, Satan, of your taking away everything. And then lastly, the devil is trying to get us to make excuses. I'm too old. I can't do that. I'm not educated enough. Oh, when I hear more, I guarantee you, Brother West knows this too. We have heard so many excuses in our lifetime. We heard more excuses than cars got liver pills. Amen. I didn't tell you the other story that before I got saved, and there was a man, I never met the man, named Jerry Jerome. He's already dead now. And just to save a long story short, he belonged to a church down in New Bern, North Carolina. And I had written in my prison cell where I was lonely and asked that church to pray. I didn't know God. And this man wrote me every week. Every week he'll write me. I get a letter from this man. And he would share with me in Bible verses. He'll share with me this. And I never did forget that. But I do remember one time that I got a letter from him. And this man who was writing me, telling me about the love of God, was bedridden. He had heart disease. He was in a bed 24/7 around the clock. And his ministry was to send letters out to people that needs encouragement. Wow. Can't tell me, my friend, you got an excuse not to do something for the Lord. It's just that you got to find that what God wants you to do and do it for the glory of God. If it may just be open a door. It may be just praying for the service every Sunday. It may just be sitting there and writing a letter, encouraging someone. But don't let the devil take God's place in your life. If you do, you're the one that's missing out and not him. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for your love. And Lord, we don't give Satan no credit tonight. We don't give him any honor. Because, God, there is no honor in him. But, God, we just want to, Lord, let the people know just what he's up to, Lord. that how he is trying to discourage your people. How he's trying to get us down, to lose our joy. Because God, you said the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I have strength, God, I can testify. When I have joy, I could face hell with a squirt gun. Lord, Satan has tried everything. Even in this congregation, he's tried every one of us. In some way, shape, or form, he's tried to knock us down. He's tried to put traps and snare us in front of our path. He's tried to hinder us. He's tried to tell us, when I'm able, God, I'm not a good preacher. God, I just open my mouth and Lord, let's let it rip, God. Because I love you, Lord. Because of all that you've done for me in my life. How you touched me. But God, I just want the people to understand. Maybe that trial that they're going through right now, that situation, it may just be Satan trying to discourage. He knows, God, his time's up. He knows he's a losing foe. He just wants to mess in our life. But God, I rebuke him tonight. He's not going to mess in my stuff. But I'm come to get my stuff. Everything that he stole from me, I'm come to get it. Maybe you're here tonight and your head is bowed. I don't know your hearts. I don't know your struggles. I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know how that Satan has come against you. But he does. I don't want you here tonight and say, Brother Steve, I really need your prayer tonight. I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I just pray for you. Just lift that hand and say, remember me tonight. I need your prayers. Thank you, others tonight. I need your thank you all across this building. Father, I love you tonight. And I love this church. And I love our pastor. And I love you, Lord. I know I'm just getting back in the saddle again. But Lord, just take this message and use it for your glory. And Lord, every hand that was raised, every heart that seeks, Lord, would you just minister to them? And would you bind Satan from our homes, our communities, our children's life, our church? God, would you just build a hedge about us? That God, that we could be strong in a world of darkness. That we, God, can light, be a light in a hill that's so full of darkness. God, the world needs us, Lord. They need to see your glory. They need to feel your love. And Lord, just work through us. And Father, tonight I asked all the people tonight here to pray for our pastor. Lord, thank you, Lord, for you gave him time to rest. Continuously refresh his mind, refresh his body,
Be with him, Lord. Keep him safe as he returns home this week. Let him know, God, that we love him. And God, that you just bless this church. Bless Brother Chris, Lord, and his family as they work with our kids, Lord. See, God, we're looking for an outpouring. We're looking, God, for those, God, that Satan has lied to, deceived, torn down. We're looking, God, for those people to come here that we can tell them that Satan's a liar, but God is truth. And watch you work in the lives of those tender hearts to grow for the kingdom of God. We thank you. May God bless you tonight. Is our prayer continuously to pray for Brother Allen.